This is The Source on Texas Public Radio 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Streets, parks, libraries, police and firefighters, what do you want the city to pump up in its spending or maybe dial back a little? The city of San Antonio is seeking resident input on the 2019 fiscal year budget. The Speak Up SA public outreach campaign invites San Antonians to complete a survey about how city money should be spent. The 2018 fiscal year city budget promised a renewed perspective with an equity lens. Do you want this to continue? Do you want it changed? In what form? What are your priorities for the city of San Antonio? Do those priorities match up with what they're actually spending that money on? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org, and you can tweet at us at @tprsource. Our guests this afternoon, we're joined by Maria Villagomez. She is the assistant city manager for the city of San Antonio. Laura Mays is a communications strategist for the city of San Antonio. And Jeanette Garcia is a communication manager for the San Antonio Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. And it's great to have you three here in the studios this afternoon. So I'm going to go first to Maria Villagomez about the budget process. It seems like this is earlier in the year than we normally get to talk about the budget. We usually start talking about it after there's been a whole lot more crafting done. So is the logic now the sooner we can get the public involved in the process, the better opportunities that we have to match up what their interests are?
Well, thank you for having us here today. We are definitely seeking for input from our residents for the city budget. As you know, the budget begins October 1. That's when the city council adopts the budget. So it is important for us to know what the community thinks about priorities for the upcoming fiscal year. So just to give you a little bit of background, when we started seeking more input from the community back in 2006, we were actually just doing about two public hearings a year. We knew that that was not enough, and we have been trying always to get more input from the community. So we started getting taking the budget on the road. We were doing about 10 community meetings after the budget was proposed. So
like one in every district.
One in every district, that is correct. So that happened for a few years, and in 2012, we decided to start the process earlier and asking the community, what are your priorities before even we began crafting the budget? So we started a series of meetings, and just to give you an idea, we were having about 500 residents participating in this event before the budget was proposed. So about 3 years ago, we started really thinking, how can we engage the community more? Instead of asking the community to come to us, our strategy is different now. We're going to them. We're going to all events across the city, as many as we can. And just to give you some numbers, when we started this new campaign, we got close to 5,000 surveys that were completed. So tremendous input that we receive. However, this is not enough. So here we are today asking the community and inviting them to participate. They can do it online, coming to our website and completing a survey, or also attending to some of the events that we are going after. So we're excited about the process, and we want to encourage the community to participate. As you know, the city of San Antonio's budget is $2.7 billion. So it is critical to hear from the community where their priorities are. So we develop a proposal that reflects the priorities of the community and also the priorities of the city council.
So that survey that you mentioned, it's a SurveyMonkey. A lot of people are maybe familiar with how simple it is to click through one of those SurveyMonkey forms. It takes about 3 to 4 minutes. It's not a heavy lift. And you get an idea of what people want what they want the spending on. We have a link to that on our website at tpr.org. And I'm going to get a caller in on this, because I think we're going to get a lot of callers. Let's get them on quick. This is Eric. The number is 210-614-8980. Eric, welcome to The Source. You're on the air, sir.
Hi. I just would like to make two suggestions. One would be to fix the potholes. That probably would take up all of the excess money, but if you had any left over, please buy some books for our libraries, paper books.
All right, Eric, thank you for that call. So Laura Mays, communications strategist for the City of San Antonio, and you're taking the lead at promoting the Speak Up San Antonio campaign. You hear from Eric, he says, fix the potholes and get some books for the library. How common are those types of comments?
You know, last year, just looking at the numbers, our residents overwhelmingly told us that they wanted more investment in streets and sidewalks. Potholes in particular definitely come up. So as we get that feedback, we certainly incorporate that into the budget by providing a report to mayor and council and our city leaders. Just as an example of that, we increased our street maintenance budget from $64 million to $99 million because we heard so much from our residents. And as you mentioned earlier, allocated that in a more equitable way. So when our residents speak up, we do listen. There was also funding included in the budget last year for libraries, which included maintenance, purchasing of new materials, operations. So it is important for people to speak up. And as common as those priorities are, we know that they're important and we want to hear from people.
When I speak to people who have broken out of the cycle of poverty, family's gone through generational poverty and this person managed to break out of that. Almost always that person had a library connection, that they spent a lot of time at the library. They used those resources to self-educate or to figure out things and move forward. So having a robust and available library is a great resource for the people who really want to change their lives. And investing in that area is investing in our the future of San Antonio. But Maria Villagomez, fixing streets, that's something you're already doing. You know, there's money already in the pot for fixing streets, right?
Correct. As Laura mentioned, the budget was increased from $64 million to $99 million. But we heard from the mayor that he put a challenge when he did his State of the City address to increase that funding to $110 million. So that is something that we are beginning to work on because we know that's one of the number one priorities for the community.
Having bad streets, wear and tear on people's vehicles, it adds to drainage problems. It's just, bad streets just lead to worse streets. So maintenance is critical for taking care of San Antonio. Let me get another caller on the air. This is Todd. And Todd, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, how you doing? Okay. Sorry for the bad voice, the allergies in the air. So
you sound great.
thanks. But you mentioned earlier that 68% of the budget goes towards just first responders, police and firefighters. That leaves only 32% of the budget, of the entire city budget, to come up with all the solutions to the things we have. Like you mentioned, potholes, city maintenance, infrastructure, and the like. The problem that I see going forward is that there have been reports that these contracts for first responders, again, it's not that I don't like them, but we're looking at in 10 to 15 years, it's 90% of the budget. How do we fix that? Because the arts need money. Our potholes, our streets need money. There's so many things the city needs as it grows. And as the city expands outward, I'm wondering if there is a thought to stop the expansion, because wow, that means more people.
Well, Todd, I hear what you're saying about the police and firefighters, and that's something that's been going on back and forth, and they're certainly aware of that at City Hall. We're going to take a quick break. We'll hear from our panel about what's happening in that area. We'll also hear more from callers, 210-614-8980. The Source continues after this. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the 2019 city budget and how the budget the city crafts is a reflection of what the people of City of San Antonio want. But beyond wanting, there's also what we need and things that we're obligated to paying for. And we look at the budget and we see the pie chart, and a big piece of the pie, 65% of the pie, goes for police and firefighting protection. And, those are things that we're obligated to have and we're committed to having. You can't do that on the cheap. You have certain expectations for public safety. Before we went to break, we heard from Todd asking about why is it so big and what can be done about that. And so let me go to Maria Villagomez. She's the Assistant City Manager for the City of San Antonio. Can you talk about that big portion of the budget. And I know we have this thing going on with the contracts right now. The police contract is settled, but this one about the firefighters, that one is not. So that's out there.
Yes. So public safety, which is police and fire services, are critical services of any municipality across the country. Here in San Antonio, 65% of our general fund budget, which is the largest operating fund of the city, is consumed by public safety. This is a topic that the city has studied in a lot of detail. Back in 2013, we had a task force that spent several months looking at the issue, and one of the recommendations that were made and one of the city council policies that has been adopted is to maintain public safety spending at no more than 66% of the general fund. Actually, the task force said less than 66%. So we are managing that as we make decisions and recommendations for public safety spending. We make sure that is within that parameter, not to exceed 66% of our general fund budget. So we understand it's critical, and we want to make sure that we're not crowding out other important services in the general fund, such as streets and health and libraries, code enforcement, animal care services, and others.
So when we talk about the city's commitment to police and fire protection, that includes lots of things, including the salaries and equipment and everything we need to for training and upkeep. But also it includes the pension plan and also the medical coverage for these brave individuals. And their families frequently. That's part of the discussion that's happening right now with the contract, is how generous should the city be in covering the medicals for the firefighters, police officers, and their families. And that seems to be the area where the city is trying to hold the line so that it doesn't go above 66% of the entire budget, and so that there is money left over for parks, streets, sidewalks, senior centers, and other things that people want out of the city of San Antonio. So is that a fair evaluation, Maria?
It is. We settled the police collective bargaining contract in 2016, and we maintain within that parameter of 66% of the general fund budget. As we have had conversations with the fire union, we want to ensure that the contract that we negotiate is affordable to the taxpayer and fair to our firefighters. So that is something that we're keeping in mind. Healthcare is a topic that has been discussed heavily, and we want to, we're asking our firefighters to contribute to the cost of healthcare just like any other employee does across the country. So again, our key is to bring to the city council a contract that is affordable to the taxpayer and is also fair to our firefighters.
So we have this program right now, Speak Up SA, which is a public outreach campaign inviting San Antonians to get involved in the process. And it looks like you're doing all you can to do outreach across the San Antonio. And Jeanette Garcia is with us. She's a communications manager for the San Antonio Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. And you've been brought in to help get people involved, right?
Yes. So one of the big things that the Hispanic Chamber believes in is, of course, especially going off of last year's budget, where we all looked at an equitable lens, is trying to expand that effort to also include all of the citizens of San Antonio. So one big area, or two big areas, are the Hispanic market, as well as millennials, young professionals like myself. And the Hispanic Chamber has helped the city quite a bit on those two efforts, reaching out to our small businesses that are in our network, as well as all of the people that belong to our leadership programs, such as Leadership San Antonio, the Alex Briceño Leadership Development Program, and the Latina Leadership Institute.
Right. So the interesting thing about the Survey Monkey, the first question they ask you is English or Spanish. So it's available bilingually. But also, you wonder, though, what about the people who don't have access to the internet? How do they have a chance to participate in this process?
And that's one of the great things that they have definitely done within the past 3 years, expanding the amount of areas and events that they go out to get into the community. And I think Laura can actually speak a little bit more about that.
So Laura Mays?
Sure. So we've done a lot of things to try to expand our outreach efforts. One thing that we've done is we have what we call our SA Speak Up squads. And these groups of volunteers who are bilingual attend various community-wide events, be it a farmer's market, a 5K, Fiesta de los Niños at Port San Antonio. We were out at Military Appreciation Weekend through the Tricentennial. Lots of different community-wide events where large groups of people gather with paper copies of the survey available in English and Spanish. That way we can get feedback from as many people as possible. Another thing that we do is we also provide paper copies of the survey to all of our libraries, community centers, and senior centers, and also partner groups, stakeholder groups like Move San Antonio that can help us get the word out and provide paper resources for those that don't have access to the internet.
So let's go back to the phones and hear from our callers and talk about what they want to see with the budget. And let's get Raven on the air. And Raven is here. And Raven, you're with Move San Antonio. You're on the air.
Yes, I'm with Move San Antonio. My name is Raven Douglas. I'm the leadership manager here at Move San Antonio. And my question is there anything being done to ensure equity in the city among young people in the budgetary process so that a young person on the east side has the same life opportunities as a young person on the north side?
All right, Raven, thank you for the call. And so Maria Villagomez, assistant city manager, go ahead.
Yes. So what we have done in the past is use equity for our city services. To give you some examples, even prior to doing our street maintenance program that way, we have services such as code enforcement, animal care services, where we target those areas of town where the need exists. So instead of providing resources all across the city equally, we target those areas of town where we have more need or those services are needed the most. We are continuing that effort. Last year, we specifically addressed street maintenance as to where in the past we were roughly dividing the budget by 10. We took a different approach, and the funding that was allocated in prior years stayed the same. The additional funding, or roughly about $35 million, was specifically added to those districts, five in total, where there was the condition of the streets was below a 75 on a scale of 100. One of the things that we're doing this year is that we're continuing to apply this equity assessment across other services in all of the departments of the city. So, for example, our delegate agency funding process, which is funding to non-for-profits, we have applied an equity assessment. So we are currently on the RFP process of request for proposal. So when we bring those recommendations to council in August, there will be equitable represented across the city. So we continue the work, and we are going to bring some of those programs to council as part of the budget process. Youth, specifically to answer your question, is one of the programs that we're targeting through our consolidated funding process. And this is really to provide services to those individuals or of our population, youth age 16 to 24, who are currently not working and not in school. So how can we provide services to them and give them the opportunity to get re-engaged? So that is something we're doing in this budget.
All right, a lot of callers here. Let's get, this is Tenny. Tenny, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. The gentleman earlier talked about the potholes, and my problem is that perhaps they need to retrain some of these gentlemen that go around filling the potholes, because sometimes the pothole gets filled, and then two or three days later, it's down again, and then it goes on and on, you know, up to six times. If they maybe learn to, you know, adjust that baseline and then put the asphalt in and pound it down really hard so that the cars don't end up in the same pothole over and over and over again, because it's a waste of money to keep on refilling a pothole that hasn't been filled correctly.
All right, Tenny, thank you for the call. And can you address that? You know, I mean, how does that work? I mean, I've seen that too. I mean, she's right.
Yes. So this is Maria again. And, you know, one of the challenges that we have, and this goes back to the condition of our streets and the reason why it's a priority for the community, there are some streets that the condition is such that, as you mentioned, as we are filling potholes and trying to make some improvements, you may see the same problem again, when there's a lot of rain, for example. So we track that information, and whenever those streets are coming up for repair, then we'll do a more in-depth application to ensure that that doesn't recur again. We are very active right now in with Department of Transportation and Capital Programs. They have a program tailored just for potholes. So we're doing more, but to your point, the condition is such of some of the streets that we need to do a more in-depth application, and we track those. So we invite you to call 311 if you see some of those out on the street, so we can make sure that we address them on a timely basis. I would also want to invite the public to go to our website, because we have a five-year program for streets. So it could be that we are aware of the condition of the street, and it may be coming up in the next year or the next 3 or 4 years.
Here's another caller. This is Lupe. Lupe, hi. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you. First of all, I'd like to talk about animal care services. I wish that more money was put into ACS so that we could have better follow-up, or at least some follow-up, on calls in for complaints. Several people in my neighborhood have complained about one family that keeps their dogs chained on short leashes, short chains no matter what. At least three people I know of here have complained to ACS. No one has been there, and the dogs are still in the same condition. Also, library books. I know this has been mentioned, but no one has mentioned large print books. I wish that the library system would purchase more large print books, or at least stop getting rid of the large print books, so that those of us who need that format have them available. And potholes, again, same thing. They fill them by the following week. They're all down again, and it's a waste of money. I don't care what's down the road, 1 or 2 or 3 years. It's a problem right now.
All right, Lupe, thank you for the call. So it seems like that what causes the pothole problem is overweight trucks hitting these roads that weren't designed to handle all those big trucks, you know? And so that's, I guess that's a matter of code enforcement or someone out there who's making sure that the streets aren't being handling things or getting the kind of traffic it wasn't designed to have. I mean, is that something that's being thought about?
Well, our transportation and capital programs department definitely follows those situations. There are certain areas of town where trucks are not are encouraged to utilize some streets rather than residential streets, for example. There is a program that we're currently looking at as to where we don't want to have, for instance, large trucks park in city residential neighborhoods. So that is something that went into effect in terms of increasing the citation, the dollar amount of the citation, to discourage individuals to bring in their larger trucks to residential streets.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll continue talking about the city budget for 2019. There is a $13.2 million budget surplus projected for the budget. What should happen to that money? We're going to continue talking about what happens with animal care services. We heard a caller talking about their concerns in that area. What do you want the city to spend money on? Extra areas, places you think that maybe the city is not spending enough or spending too much on? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. The Source continues after this break. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. $2.7 billion. That's how much the city of San Antonio has to spend on making sure the city is running smoothly, that the streets are paved, that the stray dogs are picked up, and that the libraries have good books, and that the police and firefighters are there when you need them. We do know that 66% of that budget, of that $2.7 billion, is going to go to police and firefighters. And are you comfortable with that? Do you think there should be some adjustment? But we still have obligations in that area. So it's really hard to make these choices. And these are the choices that your elected representatives have to make in the city council. So you get a chance now to play city council person. How would you spend that money? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. And when we went to break, we were kind of getting ready to talk about animal care services. And this is an area that impacts a lot of people in San Antonio. People care about our cats and dogs and strays, and they want to know that they're being well taken care of. But yet we're trying to achieve a no-kill shelter status. That's been a challenge for the city. So what's happening with funding for ACS? Can you talk about that? Maria Villagomez, one of the assistant city managers for the city of San Antonio.
Yes, so the animal care services budget today is roughly about $14 million. We impound 30,000 pets on an annual basis. Those are dogs and cats that we pick up on the streets or that owners bring over to the shelter. So I'm proud to say that our live release rate is over 90%. Just about 12 years ago, we were euthanizing about 90% of the animals that we were picking up. So this has been a big change. Thank you to the community for being more responsible with their pet owners. Responsible pet ownership is one of the keys to have a successful and safe community in terms of not having stray dogs on the streets.
And also these nonprofit groups like San Antonio Pets Alive stepping in and saving dogs and cats from being euthanized.
Definitely. In addition to the work of the community, we have great partners like San Antonio Pets Alive, the Animal Defense League, and the Humane Society. And there are probably roughly about 100 plus different rescue organizations that are helping us on a daily basis to place these animals with owners, perhaps taking them to other cities across the country where there's a need for pets. So it's really a community effort, and that's what I want to highlight, that the city cannot do it alone. We need the help of the community. We need the help of the rescue organizations to help us with this challenge that we have. We've done a lot of good work, but there's still more to do. We still have stray dogs on the streets that we send our animal care officers on a daily basis to address that. And one of the things that we have done, not only picking up the dogs, but really it's about education. You'll see our animal care officers talking to the owners of those dogs and giving them information about spay and neuter your dog, microchips. Microchips are free. And there's a big opportunity for us when we come across a dog that has a microchip, because we can return that to the owner instead of bringing that pet to the shelter.
And you said about $12 million is the annual allotment for the ACS, Animal Care Services?
$14 million.
$14 million. Okay. All right. Akeem is on the line. Akeem, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes. Thank you for having me. So I know a lot of the budget is being focused on, you know, first responders and, you know, public safety. And I wanted to know, I know there's a lot of initiative to get the community more active in some of these measures. And I wanted to know if it was possible to allocate more money towards community centers, not only on one side of town, but on every side of town, because San Antonio is well known for being one of the most economically segregated cities. And also we're known as being one of the most unhealthiest cities, you know, in the United States. And I think that starts on a community level. If everybody had, you know, more even footing as far as having a community center to go to, a well-funded community center to go to, that didn't look different on the south side or the west side or the east side or the north side, that they could go to either receive resources or to get either mental help or to get, you know, healthy food. Three, you know, major aspects that involves every family in San Antonio. If there was some type of initiative that was, you know, backed by the city and well-funded that could bring the city closer together on those avenues to make it so that San Antonio was not one of the most economically segregated, right, and not one of the most unhealthiest cities, you know, in the country.
Thank you, Akeem, for that comment. So Laura Mays, communication strategist for the City of San Antonio, community centers, where are we? I know we have senior centers, and they kind of work, pull double duty as community centers in ways. Is that right?
That's somewhat true, and we do have community centers as well that are often located with our city parks. During our second phase of outreach for the budget campaign, we actually go out and show the proposed budget to our residents by visiting various community centers with community nights. So as we do those meetings, we do get to see if there is need out there or showcase a new venue that's opened. Some of the newer areas are Southside Lions Park, for example. But I think that's great feedback. Our community is looking for places to gather and places to be active, and those resources are important, and so we appreciate the feedback.
So Jeanette Garcia, your communications manager for the San Antonio Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, what does it look like from the business point of view of what we want the city to be spending dollars on, particularly when it comes to things like workforce development and support for small businesses?
Yes, of course. So the San Antonio Hispanic Chamber of Commerce has 1,300 members, both corporate and small businesses. And of course, one of the big things that we've heard from our corporate members, be it USAA, HEB, Valero, or others, is that we definitely need to focus a lot more on our workforce development areas. And I know that the city has implemented some areas where we're able to do that. That includes, I know you just mentioned community centers. I know the east side has the Etsy and the west side has the Wetsy. And I know those are areas that are definitely trying to help people in underserved areas upskill their talent to try to hopefully get a job within one of those targeted areas.
It's amazing the services that are provided at Etsy and Wetsy, and people who can get over there will find, low cost or no cost opportunities to get job trained.
Yes. And it's one of those things that, of course, needs to be promoted a little better, I think, in my opinion. And then when it comes to small businesses, obviously, the city does a really good job with their SBADA program, the Small Business Economic Development Advocacy Program, to include small businesses on the various city contracts. And that includes, like we were mentioning before, potholes, having small businesses on those contracts to help with the construction and doing that kind of stuff.
But doing things like workforce development with city dollars, that's city investment in the people of the city of San Antonio who will go on to become better earners and better taxpayers and a stable foundation for the city into the future and turn neighborhoods around.
Yes, of course. And then whenever people are upskilled and are able to have those skills, that hopefully would bring in better jobs, better quality companies into San Antonio.
So this is obviously goes down to, like, we have to tell the city leaders, this is where we want our dollars spent, because, as you know, there's a lot of competition for these dollars. Everyone is screaming that they want their share. So let's go hear from another caller, 210-614-8980, where they want these dollars going. William, welcome to The Source. William, you're on the air.
All right. Thanks. How are you?
Okay. Go ahead.
Good. I just wanted to make sure that everybody was aware of the 311 app that goes on the smartphones. I found that to be a fantastic tool for potholes or, several of the different things that y'all discussed today. We utilize it for our HOA in our neighborhood. And it's one that's really fast. It works. The city does a great job of responding to those requests and just getting it handled. So I just wanted to make sure everybody was aware of it and talk a little bit more about it as a tool.
Thank you, William. 311 app, Laura Mays, communication strategist for the City of San Antonio. Great way for you to communicate with people in this digital age.
That's right. As the city is looking at ways of getting more feedback or reaching out to our residents in a more efficient way,
real-time
app is a great way to do that. Stay tuned for some updates to that as part of our Smart Cities program. And some folks might not know, 311 is also on Twitter. So if folks want to tweet an issue, they can tag CosaGov and also the 311 Twitter account and send in their requests that way. We try to use social media as much as we can. And for anyone who's on the line who wants their voice heard, if they use the hashtag SASpeakUp, we'll go through and count all those comments as well for our report to mayor and council.
So how many surveys have been completed thus far?
So thus far in the campaign, more than 7,000 residents have already spoken up, and that's people that have taken the survey. So if you're on social media, we're going to count you too, but we encourage you to take that survey because it really does show you how the budget works, and it kind of asks you in a way to measure, do you want to see a lot more investment in streets? Do you want to see a little more? Do you want to leave it just the way it is? And it gives you some context to each of those different budget categories, so that way you can tell us exactly how you feel.
How much weight is going to be given to this survey?
I think it's a very important tool for our city leaders to understand it. They are presented with a report during their goal setting session or ahead of it, and then each district as well is going to get a report of the feedback specific to their district. So whether you live in Council District 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and so on and so forth, each of your council members is going to get a report of what their residents said they want to see them focus on. So it's very important.
All right, so take the survey. We get a link on our website, tpr.org. It only takes about 2 or 3 minutes. And we're going to take a minute to take another break for our underwriters. If you want to call in with your comments and questions about the city budget and the effort to include you into the process, 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Source continues after this break. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Last year, when the city of San Antonio did its $2.7 billion budget, it made some changes. It gave an extra $4.3 million to Via Metropolitan Transit to add more bus routes. It also dealt with some other issues. It hired new police officers, 40 new police officers, 37 new civilian positions, most of them at the 911 call center. They also used the equity lens to divvy up funds according to historic needs in certain parts of the city of San Antonio. So every year the city makes certain changes when it comes to the budget. And what changes do you want to see in the coming year? Should the equity lens continue? Should we make it drive it home even harder? Should we back off a little bit? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. We still have public transportation needs. We have affordable housing needs. We hear about our needs all the time. Infinite needs, limited money. What should we do? 210-614-8980. And Gary is on the line. Gary, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you. I've only been down in San Antonio a few months, so I don't have the facts to ask any kind of specific budgetary question. I would just like to hear a discussion. You just alluded to the topic I had in mind on public transportation, where the city is now and where it's maybe going. And that's admittedly a broad topic. It can include everything from weight times for buses to light rail, even. I know that would affect the quality of our air, too. Having just moved down here from Montana, I can tell you that I stepped out in my backyard a few nights ago and took a deep breath, and I felt like I'd been dropped onto another planet.
Well, that Montana air is hard to compete with, Gary. But thank you for the call, and that is something that air is always something that we're focused on. So let's talk about public transportation spending. Like I said, they did give a boost to VIA last budget session. I guess that's going to continue, but whether or not there should be more, there certainly is discussions about mass transit solutions at the city of San Antonio. We heard recently from the Mayor Nuremberg that they were no longer going to pursue rail, but still mass transit solutions away from rail. So let's talk to Maria Villagomez, Assistant City Manager for the City of San Antonio. What about transportation?
Yeah, so in terms of transportation, as you mentioned, the city allocated roughly about $4.3 million to VIA in the current fiscal year. The policy discussion with the council was to achieve a total of $10 million annually. That would be the city contribution to VIA. So as we are working in the 2019 budget, that's our guiding principle to get to $10 million in 2019 in terms of funding to VIA. The goal of that funding is to increase the number of routes and to reduce the downtime that our community has to endure today so they can get faster where they need to go and not have to wait for several buses to get to their final destination. The mayor also recently announced the creation of a new committee, Connect SA, that is going to be looking at solutions, transportation solutions that they will be working on and having some discussion probably by early next calendar year. From what I hear, they will be perhaps making some recommendations. The goal, again, is to help our residents to get from point A to point B quicker. Also, ozone in our climate, ozone is critical for us. So we're trying to reduce emissions and try to identify solutions that are going to address that, the quality of life of our city.
All right, now back to the phones with Mario Salas. Mario Salas, former city council person, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Oh, thank you. I'll be real quick. When I was a councilman, that same problem existed as it exists now. What we're doing is we're giving contractors the right to pave streets, and they normally only last about 2 to 3 years. Then they begin failure. They begin dips. They begin potholes. They begin just general falling apart. And I can name streets off that have done that. And what happens is we don't have a warranty on them very long. I don't know what the warranty is right now. It used to be a year, maybe two. And then the contractor's not responsible. They're using inferior material. And you take a road like Pooh Road, maybe it's 2 or 3 years old. It's already messed up. And you see that happen across San Antonio and streets across the city. So I think that's a problem. And road cuts are still continually a problem where as soon as they get a street paved, a contractor goes in there and fixes a water main break. and now the patchwork that they did on it starts to sink. And it's a never-ending story. It's a shame we can't do like some other places that build a quality road from the beginning so you don't have to go back and worry about fixing it 2 years later.
All right, Mario Salas, thank you for the call. Appreciate your perspective on that. So does it come down to paving with better materials, spending more money in the front end and having a road of higher quality, or is it just a circumstance of San Antonio because the heat and then it causes roads to crumble a little bit faster? What is the situation, Maria? Can you answer that?
Well, quality is very important to us. We want to make sure that as we are paving or reconstructing streets across the city, they are of good quality. So that's what we strive for. All of our construction contracts have a one-year warranty, meaning that if something was to occur after that period of time, that the contractor can address that. We have inspectors that are continuously doing inspections of our streets. So again, we take quality very serious. We want to make sure that the dollars that we're investing on our city streets are well utilized and are actually maintaining and improving the quality of our streets. We have a division within our TCI, Transportation and Capital Improvements Department, that is a right-of-way management division that are dedicated to ensure that whatever cuts are made to the street, that those are repaired within a period of time and they are of good quality. We continue to strive to coordinate with our utilities, SAWS and CPS, to make sure that when we fix a street, they do their utility work to ensure that they don't come back and cut on our street. So it's an ongoing effort. And again, quality is very important to us. And we strive to make sure that we are delivering quality streets to our community.
So we're talking about the $2.7 billion that the city has to spend over this fiscal year, and we're looking at one pie chart, and we see how all that's being divided up, where the money is going. But where is the money coming from? How does that break down?
So I'm going to speak about the general fund, which is the largest operating budget of the city. It's $1.2 billion, and this is typically where most of the services that the community is interested in are delivered, such as police and fire, street and maintenance, parks, libraries, animal care services, code enforcement. So there's four components of that revenue. Property tax is roughly about one quarter of the revenue that we receive. So for every dollar that a resident pays on property taxes, the city gets about 22 cents on that dollar. Another component of our revenue stream is CPS revenues, and that's a payment that we get from the utility as the owners of CPS.
So that, your electric bill.
The electric bill, yes. So that equates to about 30% of the general fund resources. And then we have sales tax.
So I'd say that because if CPS were not a municipally owned utility, chances are it would be paying taxes, sales taxes, equivalent to the amount that the city gets, or maybe not equivalent to, but, you know, this is, there's an offset. You know, you just say, well, you know, why is the city making so much money off of my the electric bill? You know, it's, this is how things work out.
Correct. So the utility pays that amount of money to the city as a payment in lieu of taxes, as you mentioned, and also as a return on investment, as the city of San Antonio, our residents are the owners of the utility. Sales tax is another component of our budget, roughly about a quarter of the general fund. And then we have other revenue sources such as EMS transport fees, the fees that are paid for utilities, franchise fees as well. So that comprises the general fund. We also have another component, which is our restricted funds, and that is comprised of fees that residents pay, like for garbage collection, fees that are paid at the airport, the fees that are paid by developers for the review of permits, and also when residents or visitors come to San Antonio and rent a hotel room, the fees associated or the tax, the hotel occupancy tax, is one of.
But that doesn't go into that doesn't go into the general fund. That goes into a dedicated fund for the promotion of the city and the dealing with cultural activities.
That is correct. So the $2.7 billion budget, the general fund is $1.2 billion, which is, again, the largest operating source, and sales tax, property tax, CPS revenue are the primarily revenue sources for the general fund.
But then we also have bond money, which we use for these projects to pave streets, repair streets, improve the city of San Antonio. And so we're hearing from listeners all afternoon about streets and sidewalks and potholes. So how come is the bond money, is that going to be the solution in that area?
So the bond program, or our capital program, which is primarily comprised of the dollars that were approved by the voters in May 2017, $850 million in total. And that addresses street projects, drainage, some of our parks, and some of our facilities as well.
So this, you're coming at this problem from different areas.
Correct.
All right. I want to thank Maria Vea Gomez. She's an assistant city manager for the city of San Antonio. We're also talking with Laura Mays, a communications strategist for the city of San Antonio. Jeanette Garcia, communications manager for the San Antonio Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. We've been talking about the 2019 city budget. You can find a link to the Speak Up SA public outreach campaign survey on our website at tpr.org and make your voice heard about how you want your dollars spent in the city of San Antonio. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for tuning us in.